This past week, my wife and I took a couple of days off, and we really just got our heads cleared, and I didn't realize it at the time, but we just passed through into our 30th year of ministry here at Church on the North Coast. And so we're really excited about that. You didn't have to clap, but I'll take it. A lot of pastors ask me, how in the world did you hang out there so long? How'd you make it? I said, well, you know, the congregation I have today is the best congregation I've ever had in 30 years. People come and people go, but let me tell you something. This is easy to pastor here. But we're going to take this 30th year, my wife and I, we're going to celebrate it. I've never had a sabbatical. How many know what a sabbatical is? It's when you take an extended time off of 3 or 4 months just to kind of regroup. They say professionally, pastors should take one about every 7 years. Since I haven't taken any, let's see, 7 times 4 is 28 times. Gee, that means I don't have to come back next year until 2010. But we are going to just look forward to seeing our year transpire with the opportunity to take a little more time off. We never take our full vacation allotted to us every year. That's why we took this extra week. So next year we're planning on taking all of our vacation. You say, well, how many weeks do you get? Many as I can take, I'll tell you that right now. So we usually miss maybe a couple of Sundays a year, and we're going to take all of our vacation. And it's been real hard for me to do that because I love being here. And oftentimes, even like, was it last year, Tina, we were on vacation, I flew home to preach and then flew back to vacation. What kind of, you know, that doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, but when you're in love with the church, you're in love with the church. But this morning, I want you to rejoice with me over that, and that's all we're going to say about it. There's not going to be any fanfare. There won't be any party. I figured, you know, we did a 25-year thing. Let's wait until we have 40, and then you can have a party at that time. But we don't need any party recognition or anything for 30 years. That's an easy thing with you. It's like being married to my wife for 37. That was an easy thing. She's a lovely person, and so are you, and so it's real easy to do that, right? Amen. All right, let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Paul was writing, and he was giving us understanding about Jesus. He said this about the Son of God, who being in the form of God, everybody say the form. In the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be what? Equal with God. Look at the next verse. But made himself of no reputation. I'd like for you to say that word, reputation. Reputation. Because I think that when we say these words, we define them according to our modern definitions. But we're going to find out in a minute that that particular word, reputation, has a different understanding. And when it refers to Jesus, taking the form, there's that word again, the form of God, now in verse 7, taking the form, that means that if he came or had the form of God, and he had to take another form, that means he had to leave one form in order to take the other form. Are you following me? And that's really important to our Christian doctrine. To recognize that Jesus was not just a part of God, a symbol of God, but that he is fully God. And that's why it does my heart really good to see Jesus is Lord in front of our building. Because what we're declaring is that Jesus is God. And when you say that, you send ripple effects through the powers and principalities and the heirs of darkness and religious mindset around the world, because many would today, by politically correct attitudes, declare that Jesus is but one way of many to heaven. And I stand and declare that there is no other God but Jesus Christ alone. And this is what Paul is trying to disclose to us. And he says in that verse, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Christ's birth is one of the greatest miracles that has ever occurred. Anytime, anywhere. It's a moment when God Himself shed His divine appearance, His glory, left it, and was transformed or took on another form so that you and I could behold Him. Unless He had taken on this form, we could not have beheld God. I like this scripture verse in verse 6 when He said, being in the form of God. Now that's just a small word, but if you understand it in the Greek, it's actually defined like this. Something that has always existed. He was being in the form of God. In other words, it's something that has always existed. Jesus did not come into being at the birth of the baby called Christ. Jesus didn't have a beginning in the stable of which we celebrate at Christmas. He has always been and will always be. The word being tells us He always existed. You know, many people in their mind think that Jesus came as a baby and that's His first appearance. But that's not true. And that's important for you and me to understand in our Christian doctrine if we're going to fully understand our faith. And the challenges of the faith that are being spoken against Christendom today challenge the whole concept of Christ existing eternally. Now, this may not have a whole lot of bearing on you at this moment, and you may be thinking, well, okay, I understand that, but what does that have to do with Christmas? What does that have to do with Christ coming and being born as a baby? You see, Jesus' human birth was not His beginning, but it was a manifestation that God had planned before the foundations of the world in order to be able to meet with you and me. He had to come up with a plan in order to meet us at the point of our need. In other words, in John chapter 8 and 58, Jesus said this, "Before Abraham was, I am." That's why they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand. What are you talking about? Before Abraham was, you are. You're just, you know, 30 years old and you're telling us that you existed before Abraham? That's what He was telling them, and they couldn't quite grasp that. And Jesus was saying, yeah, before Abraham was, I am. I've always been. This is why the Christmas story is such a miraculous story. When Christ came as a baby, it was the greatest miracle we'll ever witness. It is a great time of celebration. It ought to be a moment when we recognize the grace of God upon our lives. Verse 6 of our text in Philippians chapter 2 could be translated this way. Who eternally existing in the form of God. He says, who being in the form of God, who eternally existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He eternally existed as God. But He had to take on another form. Everybody say form. He had to take on another form because the form that He was in, you and I could not comprehend. The form that He was in, you and I could not relate to. You and I could not even look upon Him in the form that He was in. What was His form? He was God. He was in His glory. He was in His splendor. And God knew that if He was going to redeem mankind, He would have to leave this form and take on another form. And what was that form? What did He choose as a vehicle, as a form, in order for you and I to behold Him? a bondservant. He took on flesh. He became human. Whew. God became a human. Now, in order for him to become a human, he had to leave the divine attributes of his being. He had to leave the splendor of his appearance as God. He had to walk out of that and walk in. You know, I've heard some great stories over the years of how reporters are doing a story on women in prison. And rather than going to interview a few prisoners, some of them have determined that one of the best ways to get a good story is to become incarcerated themselves. And when you're finished with the story, they don't let you out. You stay in the confines of the prison. Now you've taken on a different form. You have become one of the prisoners. Even though you know you've done nothing wrong to be here. Even though you know that all you've got to do is say, "Get me out of here now." You could, but you chose not to because you want the story. Jesus became a bondservant. God decided to go to prison to become like you and I, to become flesh, to be trapped in a world under the bondages of sin. And when they falsely accused him, when they hurled him off of a cliff, or attempted to, when they began to malign his character, he didn't cry out, "Get me out of here." But he determined to stay because he wanted the story. What was the story he was looking for? It's called the Christmas story. There was no other way of getting it. He had to become in the likeness of men. What a great, great feat. What a great consideration that Jesus in his preexistence was God, yet took on a form of no reputation. I like that word because it means this. To make empty, to evacuate, to deprive, and to relinquish. In other words, he evacuated every right to being God. He emptied himself of every attribute. Remember when Jesus said this? "I could have called down 10,000 angels. But I decided not to do it. Because had I done it, there would be no Christmas. So I toughed it out for the prisoners. I became a fellow prisoner for those who have been called or locked up into bondage by sin." And Jesus redeemed. You know, God had such a strong desire to be with man that he had no choice but to reclothe himself. You know, I've often seen other stories on the news of people that want to experience the prejudices of others. So as a man, they'll dress as a woman. And watch how people relate to them differently by gender. You've probably seen those. Or someone who is not necessarily obese, but they determine to have an appearance of obesity and interact with society and watch how people relate to them as an obese person versus as a normal weighted person. Have you seen those kinds of things? At the end of the day, they could take off the costume. But once the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and Jesus took on the form, and He put on the bondservant, and He left His divine position, there was no turning back. There was no costume to take off. Because now God was born as a man. That's why the prophet Isaiah says, Emmanuel. God with us. He deliberately divested Himself of all of His heavenly glory and took on the form of a bondservant. And the word took on means to seize. He seized it. In other words, He reached into a material world that He created and became subject to it. Can you imagine a God that created the law of gravity and lived above the law of gravity and became a man and now had to subject Himself to that which He created? The thought is very provoking because the Scriptures tell us that He was made into this form of a bondservant, meaning He had to become something that He was not. Why would God become a man? Why would God become a human being ruined by sin? To experience every pain, every sorrow, every sickness in this world. To experience rejection. Experience temptation. Why would He choose to do that? Because there was such a desire to love what He had created and for fellowship, that there was no price too big to pay to become human. That was the only way to understand and to fully redeem you and me from sin's condition. God Himself came to meet us, to reach us, and to touch us. And church, this morning as we celebrate this Christmas season, let us recognize that it was God who determined that He would come and meet you and me at the point of our greatest need. And left glory. The Bible says that He was made in the likeness of man. Not only in the visible likeness, but also in the human likeness. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 4 and 15, it was essential that He became like man because we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Do you understand? Jesus determined that He would come as a human and be entrapped, be imprisoned, would live the life of the penitentiary. He would live the life of scorn. He would live the life of rejection. He would live the life of sorrows. Why? Because He had a determination that when He ascended from the dead, when he ascended at the right hand of the Father, he would forever engage in intercessory prayer, knowing how to pray for you and for me. There's something about praying for an Anna who has been rushed to the hospital with no expectation of living. And there's another way of praying for an Anna when your own mother had been rushed to the hospital with no expectation for living. And you hear that word from the prayer request, and suddenly it moves you like not ever before, because you relate to the pain. You really can't explain what it's like when your parent dies. Until you've experienced your loving mother's death, you now have some association of the sorrow and loss that they're going through. Jesus was in all manner tempted like we, yet without sin. Jesus, never being sick, but yet confronting sickness daily. Healing the lepers, opening the blind eyes, the multitudes that came to him in desperation. He understood the plight of man. That's why when you come to him in prayer, believing that he is your healer, he hears your prayer and understands your need. Because of this great exchange, he's stood in our place, felt with what we feel, and touched by all of our infirmities. And out of deep love, he left the realms of glory to enter into the realm of humanity. So I guess when we consider all this, let's ask the question, what does Christmas mean to me? What impact should it have on my life? How does it change me? I wanted to produce some buttons this year. Didn't get a chance to do it. That simply says, we say Merry Christmas. And I wanted to pass them out to everyone, and you could have put that on your little lapel, on your coat, so that when you check out of your favorite department store and they say, Happy Holidays, they would have to read your button that says, we say Merry Christmas. Now, it's more than just trying to be politically correct. This is not just political correctness that people are now moving to Happy Holidays. Well, you have to understand, we have to celebrate Hanukkah. We have to celebrate, you know, all these other things. Kwanzaa. We have to celebrate Christmas. We have to celebrate Muslim Holy Day, High Days. And we just want to be politically correct. It's, you know, it's more than this. It is moving away from this story. All right. Because when you hear this story, you can't stay the same. When you hear of someone who willingly went to prison and took your place and let you go, you can't be the same. So therefore, what I've got to do is I have to Happy Holiday it. And some of you have given in to it through fear and intimidation. You're almost afraid to say Merry Christmas. A spirit of fear has come into you, and you feel like if you were to say that, it would be confrontational. He said, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I felt that. So what does Christmas mean? What is all this story? What's the significance of it? How does it apply to me? That was good doctrine, Pastor. Great. Praise God. All right, good. Let's go home. How does it apply to me? Let me tell you what Christmas means to me. That I now am required, by virtue of the message, to find a way to the level of life of others that I don't understand and cannot relate to. Hear me now. There's not a husband in this room that, if you've truly been impacted by the Christmas story, don't tell me you can't change. The only reason why you can't change is because you won't change. And you're unwilling to take on what? Another form. The Christmas story has implications that there is not one person on this planet that I cannot love. If I leave one form and take on another. If Christ did it, if Christ took on another form so that he might relate and understand where I live and meet the need of that moment, then if he is my Lord, then I too can take on another form and be a person of great forgiveness, no matter how much you've hurt me. No matter how deeply you've rejected me, I can still reach my hand out to you. Watch now. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to quicken your mortal body. Which means now the life I live in this flesh is no longer my own, but it's Christ who lives in me. Meaning I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christmas ought to be a time of reconciliation. And yet so many of us experience the fractures, the gaps, sorrows of broken relationships, the regrets. You see, to be able to come to others in their level and to better understand them and to become a true intercessor. You see, my ultimate purpose in meeting you in the point of your need today is that I might intercede for you, that I might pray for you. And Jesus taught us this. He said, "Bless those who persecute you, who despitefully use you for my name's sake, for great shall your reward be in heaven." So often we hear the phrase, "I just can't stand that woman. I don't like her." You don't know what spirit you're of when you say that. And yet you sing fa-la-la-la-la. And you shop for Christmas and decorate your house. Why don't you just say, "Happy holiday"? Because if we really understand the true meaning of Christmas, it is that Christ took on another form, left His divinity, became human, subjected to the creation that He spoke into existence. It's a powerful thought that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul said this. He began this whole discourse with this word. He said, "Let this mind be in you." See, some of you thought it was just my opinion that you had to take on another form with other people. See, you just thought that. You thought that that's a really good aspiration, Pastor. That's very noble. That sounds like a good Christian concept. But you know what? I don't see it in the Bible. Okay, now I got you. Look. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was his mind? Look at the next verse, verse 6. Who being had always been God, always existed at God, in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He made himself. He became of no reputation. He became a person that emptied himself of his rights. I have a right to feel this way for what she's done. You should be a person of no reputation. Empty yourself, vacate them, and take on the form, a new existence of a bondservant coming in the likeness of men. He said, I want you to think the same way. I want you to think the same way. You know, there's not a person in this room, if you've been in this planet any length of time at all, you've been hurt by somebody. Because people can be cruel. I mean, they're cruel in second grade, let alone as an adult. People are downright mean. And some of us have spoken some very hurtful words to others that we really do love. And you can't take them back, can you? And there are scars in our hearts. So, you know, I really don't need another Timex watch. I really don't need some a pair of socks. I really don't need some gloves. You know what I'd really like to have? I'd like to form a new relationship with you. The greatest gift at Christmas. Jesus was willing to go to this incredible distance to reach us, love us, and redeem us. You see, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. These same attributes. The primary message of Christmas is this: be willing to divest yourselves of all of your privileges, such as the convenience and the comfort of self consumptions, and behold others in their world. It would change this world. And in many instances, it has changed this world. But there's not enough of us. We become selfish, self-centered, and greedy. We become people who hold on to our rights and our prejudices, our anger and our hate. And many of us in the name of God. And it is an absolute affront to the message of Christmas. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who took on the form of a servant in order for us to do the same. When I meet a true servant, I feel Jesus. But there are not that many, because most of us want to be served, if we'd be honest. Most of us have expectation of others' performance on our behalf. And yet Jesus himself emptied himself of all of those things so that he could understand where we live and learn how to pray for us. I think of the Christmas song, Have Yourself a Very Little Merry Little Christmas. Let me tell you something. If you begin thinking this way, living this way, there'll be nothing little about your Christmas. It will be so big. Do you know how many people are out there waiting to hear the story? Oh, no, no. Not just tell them. Because Jesus says, your lips, but your heart I want my heart to line up with my lips. What's a great place to start? How about your home? How about your marriage? You don't have to wait for the marriage conference in February, which we're going to be conducting. You don't have to wait till then. How about this afternoon? How about with your children? How about get on the phone on the way home from church while you're driving? Call that son, call that daughter. What about that extended family member? The one that you never see anymore at holidays, and thank God. You know what I'm talking about? Thank God. We grew out of that, praise the Lord. Call that person. Take on the form. But let me tell you something, church. You cannot take on that form of another until you've taken on his form. How do we take on his form? The Bible's very clear. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and you can be saved, changed. You can have a new form. You can be like Jesus. And then we can take this message to the nations. I'm very excited about next year. Our mission next year, the earth. I'm taking some of you with me around the world, and we're going to preach to the nations. Some of you are going to be sent. You're going to go. You say, well, I'm not going. Oh, yes, you are. You don't know it yet, but we're sending you. To do what? To tell the story. It's the greatest story ever told. Bow your heads with me. Father, there are people here this morning that would love to make this transformation in their life. But first things first. They need to know Christ as their Savior, as their Lord. So if you're standing here today and you're saying, Pastor, you know, I really don't even like myself. There are times that I become so hateful. There's times I become so embittered. It just ruins my day. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know how to handle it. I need help. Well, darling, let me tell you, there's help on the way. And the help is in this room right now. You may not be able to see it, but you can feel it. It's God's love reaching out to you. The love that caused God Almighty to leave glory and become a man, a baby born in the manger nearly over 2,000 years ago. And he's here today to reach out to you to say, listen, you can change your life. There is hope for a new life. You can take on another form. That form, my friend, is after his image. If you're here this morning and you've never been born again, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you say, Pastor, I need this change in my life so desperately. Would you pray for me? I want to experience the true meaning of Christmas this year. Nobody looking around, let me ask that question one more time. If you want this change, you'd like for me to pray for you, I want you to do something, just lifting your hand high enough for me to acknowledge your need, and I'll pray for you. Are you ready? Thank you. Go ahead and lift your hand there, and anywhere else, there, back there, and over there, and over here. Amen. God bless you. You can put those hands down. Altar ministers, I'd like for you to join me across the front of this room. But those of you that did not answer with an upraised hand, but you know you need this prayer, and you want to be changed, we're going to pray for you. But I want you to acknowledge your need for that prayer. I can't force this prayer on you. So if you already raised your hand, you don't have to do it again. But if you didn't raise your hand, then I'm going to ask you this last time. You'll say, Pastor, include me in this prayer. I'd like to have that prayer. Would you kindly do that if you did not raise your hand the first time? Hold it up high enough so I can see it. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you back there. God bless you. Anybody else? Hold it so I can see it. Over there in the back, God bless you. I'm glad I asked again. And over here as well. Over here as well. Okay. You see, this is going to be the greatest miracle that you've ever witnessed, church. Blind eyes opened, people coming out of wheelchairs, praise God. But you know what? A man and a woman who has been locked and imprisoned by sin being set free, No other story can top that one. If you raise your hand, do me a favor. Would you kindly stand to your feet? Everybody that raised their hand, just stand to your feet. All the way in the back and here. Come on. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Over here. Come on. Stand up. Back there. Come on. Amen. Now, come out from where you're standing and guys, find a guy and girls, find a girl. Let us pray for you. Come on. Come on. This is your moment. This is your time. Come on. Back there. Yeah. Back there. Come on. Come on, young guy. All the way in the back. Come on up here. Everybody stand to your feet, please. So I need you to look at somebody this morning and say, hey, look, do you need that prayer? I'll go with you. Go ahead. Just look at them and take them by the hand and bring them down here. Would you? Come on. Come on. Would you do that? That's right. Come on. That's right. Come on. Come on. We can give them encouragement. Come on. Clap your hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for these families. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, if while we're praying, you still want to come, there's time. You can come and we'll pray for you, okay? While we're praying, you can still come. And they're coming. So that's a good thing, isn't it? This is going to be your greatest Christmas you'll ever experience in your life. Reach a hand out to them now, would you? Father, in the name of Jesus, we reach a hand out to these and we say, Lord, as they're praying this prayer of faith, as they're asking for forgiveness of sin, as they, oh God, are receiving Christ as their Savior, we're asking now that the power of your love would welcome them home. Let them, Father, know that you died, buried, and was raised again on the third day, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, that you've been praying for them, and we pray for them now. We're asking, Lord, that every man, woman, boy, or girl that came forward here this morning and that continues to come, we ask, God, that in Jesus' name, they be touched from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's just about everybody has somebody that they're praying with. Is there anybody waiting for prayer? We don't want you to have to wait. We'll get somebody else up here. We're all set? Okay. Looks like everybody was here that's coming. While they're praying, let me just remind you of a couple of items. The 20th on next Saturday, 9:30, right here at Building 3, meet with Rob White. We need as many guys that can possibly come. Bring some tools, paintbrushes, whatever you've got. Bring it with you. That'll be a big help. And then, ladies as well, we need a lot of, you know, cleaning up and things like that. Thursday night, this week, we want you to be a part of the service, 7 o'clock. And then don't forget intercessory prayer at 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings, okay? And then Christmas Eve service. I talked about it already, but I want to remind you again. This is a time to bring family and friends. Almost every year, people get saved. Almost every year. Just like this morning. Isn't this wonderful that people are responding to Jesus? I think so. Amen. I think that people will come. They'll be born again on Christmas Eve. So bring mom or dad or brother, sister, co-worker, somebody in your life. And let's believe God for a great, great service that morning. Well, live right. If you don't, you'll get in trouble. Love everybody. Be like Jesus. And pray hard. Because times are challenging. But through Christ, we can do all things. Amen. See you next time right here at Church on the North Coast. God bless you.